Father, we do thank you again that we have the opportunity to come before you. But I pray that you'd be in control of all that's said and done, and just prepare each one of our hearts. Lord, let the message be yours. And I just thank you ahead of time for what you're going to bring. And I wish to praise you and ask that we might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. Last couple of weeks we haven't studied, and part of the reason is because every time I approach this verse, I look at it and it just, it's coming up in, and I just feel like I didn't want to skip it and go on, and yet it really wasn't like impacted in any way. And I didn't feel like, well, okay, I've got to do something to bring, to offer, and it's just, I guess it's one that hasn't idled a lot to me. And so then as I studied this week, all of a sudden the Lord just said, here's what I was talking about. And all of a sudden it came. So I just pray that I can somehow get across to you guys what I really felt like the Lord wanted to get across to me. And let me read the verse so that you can kind of get a feel for what was going on. It's Matthew 6:16, 17, and 18. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. And truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not be seen by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. So as some of the others, this verse says how we're supposed to fast and how we're not supposed to fast. Okay. Does it sound like it's pretty optional if you fast? Okay. So how would you say that it says, what's the attitude the Lord is saying about fasting here? Okay. Right. So we've studied before, when you give, when, first it was, beware when you practice your acts of righteousness before men. So it categorized the act of righteousness. Remember I said that there were always in the Jewish mindset three. Do you remember what they were?
Oh, fasting, tithing, and praying.
Excellent. That's exactly right. Okay. So the first one was giving or tithing. And the second one was praying. And now we're on fasting. And you're going to see how these tie together in a second. But again, he doesn't say it optionally. He didn't say any of the others optional either. He says, when you do this, do it this way, don't do it this way. Fasting, as far as importance, it's kind of unusual. Do you think today most people think of fasting as an important thing?
No.
Okay. Do you think people think of baptism as an important thing?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know there's 77 times that it refers to baptism and only 75, or 77 times it refers to fasting and only 75 times does it refer to baptism? So which do you think God says is more important? But how many people have baptized and how many people have never fasted?
A lot too little.
Mm-hmm. Most people go ahead and get baptized, but most people don't take fasting as an important thing. Jesus was confronted one day by some people who were followers of John the Baptist. And they said, how come his followers pray and fast and your followers don't? Do you remember what his response was? He says, the days are coming when the bridegroom will be taken away. Then these people will fast. What he's saying is, you don't need to fast when you have Jesus. You need to fast when you don't. And thus begins to reveal the purpose of fasting. Why were they not to put on, why do you think some people put on this gloomy face and had this real attitude about fasting? Sadducees and the Pharisees, the ones that did it for show. Why do you think they did that? Well, and I'm also doing things that are right before God. Hard part is, with all of our fleshly stuff, that is still how most people are. I admit, I fall guilty to it. You look at things and you go, I hope people see that. You basically, you want to do what's right. You want to do, and then you want to be seen by people and acknowledged that it's right. So the Lord says, when you do it, don't do it to be seen by men, but do it to be seen by God. And then we just establish the fact that you don't need to do it if the Lord is present. You need to do it if He's not. The intent was that you are desiring the presence of the Lord so much that the fasting is necessary to bring that about. And you're doing it before the Lord. I've shared before, but one of the things that really blew me away when I was down in Panama, that just turned my heart a different way about praying. Because I realized that subconsciously, the do it before men thing, okay, I still would admit when I prayed a minute ago, some of it was that what it would have as an impact on you guys. Not that it would impress you, but what it was somewhat, some of it was for you. When I was down in Panama, and I've shared this before, but when I was there, there was this man, and he came and he said, I would like to recommit myself to the Lord. So I prayed, and an interpreter prayed along with me. Because I felt like I think the Lord wanted him to hear what was being said so that he could join in with that prayer and say, yeah, I acknowledge that. And that was cool. And then he was rejoicing afterwards. Then he said, would you pray for my daughter? Because she wants to accept the Lord as her Savior. And I started praying for her. And the interpreter didn't say anything. And I continued to pray, but the interpreter continued to not say anything. And pretty soon I was going, Lord, this isn't a good thing. And God laid on my heart. He goes, who are you talking to? And then I noticed that the little girl was, starting to cry. And really, she was like, you could see a change. And I was going, and God was laying on my heart real heavy, who are you talking to? And I'm going, well, I'm talking to her, but nobody's interpreting. And he goes, you need to be talking to me. I'm talking to her, and she can hear exactly what I'm saying. She doesn't need an interpreter. God says, your prayer is to me, for her, but not to her. And in a few minutes, all of a sudden, she just starts laughing, and they don't get too emotional. She's laughing, her dad's laughing, they're jumping, they're holding each other, And I'm through. I mean, I'm out of the circle. People don't even see me anymore. And I'm gone. I realize, you know, I walk away and we go minister to some other people. And nobody acknowledged anything. And it was cool because it was like my purpose only was to talk to God in her behalf and he talked to her. But it wasn't before men. What does God tell us in the Word of God? If you want to be a follower of Christ, what's he say? If any man will come after me, what? He says, deny yourself and follow me. What do you think fasting is? Denying yourself. Denying yourself of something that you want. Is fasting internal or external?
Both.
In reality, is fasting an internal thing that you do or an external thing?
Well, you have to feel it internally, but you have to act externally to stop yourself from doing it.
Right, and I understand what you're saying there. In essence, it's more internal than external. In the same sense, what is tithing, internal or external?
Physically external, emotionally internal.
Exactly. So it's kind of the opposite. But what are you tithing? What are you giving away? Usually money. Okay? And money, you could use that money to buy things that externally you want. You're denying yourself in that area. You're giving back to God what's His externally. Internally, you're denying yourself what you want for substance. Your food and water and whatever you're fasting from. In between that sandwich is prayer. The whole point is, what is the attitude that's supposed to be there of prayer? What is prayer?
Communicating
or talking with God. Okay? And what did I say in the beginning of this that Jesus said the purpose of prayer was? What did I say he told them was the reason his disciples didn't have to fast?
Because
he was with them. So if they wanted to pray, what could they do? Turn and talk to him. If you right now want to talk to God, you either just throw it out into the air and hope he's there and hope he's hearing and maybe you're good enough with your walk with the Lord that you can feel His presence all the time. Or your attitude of tithing and your attitude of fasting bring about the presence of the Lord that you might communicate with Him. That was this threefold prong here. If you want to live a godly life, if you want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, if you want the things the Beatitudes talked about, you're going to have a close, personal relationship with God. So, self-denial was a very important thing. Now, we'll go back, and I want to share what God thought a little bit from a standpoint. He said, in Joel, I'm going to read, "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart," or tear your heart, "not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, and relenting from evil." That's Joel 2:12-13. Why do you think he said, rend your heart, not your garments? What was kind of a common thing? I mean, those people were a lot more, you know, sincere in some ways about their walk with the Lord. Do you remember what happened immediately when Nathan went in and told David, and he told David that story about the shepherd? And he goes, there's this shepherd, there's this rich man and this poor man, and these people came to have this big meal, and the rich man made the poor man sell his one lamb that he had, and yet the rich man had a whole bunch of them, and he could have sacrificed any of those, and he made him give up his one. And he said, that's a terrible thing. And do you remember what Nathan said to him? He goes, you're that man. What he said is, you took his one wife. You had others. You could have, you know. The point being is, you should never have done that. What did David do, do you remember? He was crushed by it. Do you remember what he did immediately? He tore his clothes and threw ashes on himself. It was an open, external act of repentance and of I'm wrong and anguish. And what God is saying, he's saying, do that in your heart. He said, don't bother ripping your garments if you're not going to rend your heart. Turn and walk back to me with fasting and weeping and mourning. The fasting came first. The denial came first. Then the weeping. Then the mourning. He's saying, if you don't have that kind of heart, don't bother coming. Don't bother talking to me. If you don't have an attitude, whether you do it or not, if you don't have an attitude of externally going with your own, with your tithes and doing right, and internally denying yourself and what you want, then you're not going to end up talking to God. You're just going to be talking to yourself. You're wasting your time. If you haven't repented, if you don't have that kind of heart, then your prayers are really meaningless things. You're just wasting your breath. Now, the other thing is, when you fast, what did these people who were fasting and making it very clear that they were fasting, making it an outward, letting people know outwardly they were fasting, who were they fasting for? The people. The people looking at it. Not for God, not for desiring that presence. He goes, if you're really fasting for God, nobody should know it. Because it's about you and God, about you getting close to God. And if you can't have pride and righteousness at the same time. You can't be about the people seeing you and about God seeing you at the same time. He goes on here and says, how you fast depends on whom you want to impress. If your fast is for your spiritual benefit and God's glory, no one else will applaud your commitment. In Zechariah 7:5, God said, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months, these 70 years, was it actually me that you fasted for? God was asking the people, all these years, these 70 years, when you've been going through these fasts, has it really even ever been about me? Or are you just doing it? Are you just saying grace because it's expected? Are you just going to church on Sunday because your parents make you? Are you just going through the motions, but it doesn't really matter? Are you just pretending? Are you just performing? Is it real at all? Was there change that took place that causes you to want to draw close and be in the presence of the living God? Do you really believe that the Creator of the world, the Creator of all things, ripped the veil from His end to yours that you could come into His presence at the death of Jesus Christ? Do you believe that to be true? Do you want to walk into that presence? Or are you just going through the motions? To understand that He already knows everything in your life. He already has a plan for you. Does He give you the freedom to walk out of it? Yeah. Does He give you a chance to get off of the platform while He's molding the clay? Yeah. He wants you to freely love Him, to freely care about Him. He wants you back in the Garden of Eden. And this time He wants you to eat of the tree of life voluntarily. Jesus paid so that you could go back there. Will you choose God this time around? Will you give externally of what you have, including your time, your talents, your money? Will you deprive yourself internally, denying yourself? It isn't actually the fasting. Sometimes the fasting is of your time. I want to go fishing. I want to go do this. Somebody else needs me. I deny myself of the things I want to go do to do the things God wants me to do. God wants me somewhere. He wants me ministering to somebody. Can I deny myself and be what He wants? Do you see how these are more about heart attitudes? Many of the things we go through have the, God doesn't need your tithe. God doesn't need your fast. You do. You need the fasting to deny that person that you are of the things that you want. Some of you, right now, don't want to be here. You want to be doing something else. And it's not really hard to see in your faces sometimes. Okay? But the point being is, God's saying, is this for your benefit in any way? Do you want to learn about Him in any way? Or are you so excited for this to be over so you can go back to being you? And then how much do you take that into your everyday life? Is your everyday life just about you? Last week we started a study on putting on the full armor of God. I guarantee you, you can't put on the full armor of God without taking off who you are. One of the biggest problems Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit have is that every day God wants to fill you afresh with the Holy Spirit. But there's no room. Because you're so full of you, there's no room to be full of Him. And if you continually stay full of you, you become like the Dead Sea. His Spirit flows in, gives you life. Life comes as the water flows into the Dead Sea, but it doesn't go anywhere, and it becomes a cesspool, and everything in there dies. Because it doesn't flow out. And that's the way it is. And that's what happens to us too. When He fills us up with the things of God and we don't pour it out, there's no room to fill it back up again. We just sit and hold on to it, and it gets stinky, and it gets sour. And it's of no value. And He's giving these three examples. Continually be praying, talking to God. Give of yourself externally. Give of the things that are important to you. Acknowledge they're not yours. God says, give me the 10%. Do you understand the other 90% is His too? All of it is His. He just asked you to give Him 10% back. Why? To show that you acknowledge that it's His. And you're going to give Him the first fruits of it. You're going to give Him the first part of it. Here He says, deny yourself. Show me you can deny yourself in the little things like eating. Well, not eating. Like not watching TV for a time. Not doing this for a time. Something that's important to you. Deny yourself of it. Can you deny yourself of something you really want for a closeness to God? Do you understand? You deny yourself 10%, the other 90% still His. All of your time, all of who you are is His. It's the same kind of thing. It's that same principle. In some ways, when we look at fasting, we have to look very seriously. Are we, with our prayer and our fasting and our attitudes, are we seeking God for God's sake? Or are we seeking to manipulate God for our sake? Is our prayer and our fasting for the purposes that God put it there for? One of the things we lack very heavily today in our leadership, in our churches, is we lack... Do you remember what it says? The elders were there. What were the elders' number one job? Do you know? Fast and pray. That's it. Why did God make it so simple? Because if they dwelt in the presence of the living God, they were going to know what to tell the people. They didn't have to be worrying about how to lead. They would know how to lead because they were in the presence of God. And that's what they were supposed to be committed to. They even came up with deacons so that the elders wouldn't be busy taking care of the needs of the people. Figuring out what to do with the money when it came in and how to spend it right. They didn't decide how to spend it right. Those who hung out in the presence of the Lord did. And then they would do it rightly. But that's what they were to be about. Fasting and praying. That's what elders were set apart for. And then deacons, like I said, were about taking care of the financial needs and the physical needs of the people. So again, let me read through this one more time and see if it comes and it speaks to you differently at all this time. And whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face, as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Their fasting is of no spiritual value whatsoever. They have their reward in full. What is their reward? Can they tell me? Yep, looking cool in front of people. And that's it. Ends there, dies with them, doesn't go anywhere, doesn't go ahead, doesn't go to heaven. That's for sure. But, he turns you around and says, but you who say you're followers of me, you who want to be like me, you, when you fast, not if, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Get up in the morning, shower, dress like you normally would. Don't look any different. So that you may not be seen fasting. You're purposely to not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you, will reward you, will bless you. God wants you to do your, remember this whole section started with, when you do your acts of righteousness. Anybody know what acts of righteousness is? What does righteousness mean to you guys?
right thing, like, righteousness is right with God or something.
Mm-hmm. Being right before God. So, yeah, what you do and how you live, being right before God. So, your acts of righteousness, your effort to be what God wants you to be, living the way He wants you to live, are these three things. Then He goes into them. So He encompasses and says, when you do your acts of righteousness, these are your acts of righteousness. Giving tithes, praying, and fasting. They're encompassed in here. Because He knows that if you do this, the rest of it will come out of it. What does God say for everybody who's out trying to do what they think God wants them to do, or trying to even have the right things in life and do the right things with their life? What does He say you're supposed to do first? Yeah. If you'll seek Me first, all these other things that you're trying to get done, all these other things that you think are important, they'll be added unto you. What is the Ten Commandments? What's the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then He goes on with the rest. That's the foundation. Because if you know and love the living God, these things will flow out of you. They'll be natural. You won't have to try. They'll be who you are. I said before, this Bible is not that you might know all the rules and regulations. What is the purpose, primary purpose of the Bible? And what, besides dying on a cross, did Jesus say was His primary purpose for coming? To reveal the Father. God says, they don't know who I am. I'm going to send My Son so that they can understand. I'm going to go down and be like them. I'm going to make a body, call it Jesus, and indwell that body and go show them who I am. And Jesus says in John 17, Father, I have revealed You to them, and I'm going to continue. So that one day, they might love Me like You love Me, because we'll all be one. We'll be the same. That's why this does the acts of righteousness. Giving externally denies the things you want. Denying yourself internally denies who you are. Praying gives you the communication to draw near to God. And that if these things are right in your life, if you're going after these things, the others will result. The others will come natural. Because those will change what in you? What did He say, rend what and not your clothes? Heart. Rend your heart. Because He knows the heart is what drives everything. Where you, what really is inside you and makes you tick. Because right now, most people, what drives them is somebody, money, power, possessions, popularity. There might be, you know, people who are in love. It's that other person drives, you know, they want to please them all the time, and that really drives them. It's, you know, looking good in front of people, whatever that it's thing, huh?
Reputation.
Yeah, all these things, that's what drives people. That's why what's kind of the coolest thing in the world is when you see old men or old women who know they're not going to look good anymore, who know they don't really give a rip. Remember, you know, Grandpa Dunn, how he didn't really care, did he? He could walk through the mall and pass gas, and he bothered him a bit because he didn't really care. He could do whatever he wanted. He didn't worry about whether he, you know, he had a proper dress code. Did he have the coolest shoes? Did his pants match his shirt? You know, it didn't really matter. That's right, you know, and the thing is, it wasn't out there, you know. So, you know, you have those things, and those are, you know, you have people out there who understand that, and they don't care anymore. Most rest of us, including you, care. You know, it bothers you when there's not quite as much hair on the top of your head as it used to be. And that's why some people have figured out that the best thing to do is just shave it all and nobody knows how much you really have or don't have.
Or you drug it.
You own your own Rogaine shop or something. Whatever. But the point is, you see what I'm saying is, this is people's heart. So, just make God that center. Because he says again, if you follow me, then deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. You can't follow him if you don't do those things. So, Father, just thank you for this time. These things are easy to say, but again, they're hard to do. And yet, you give us examples. You say if we'll have an attitude that gives away, and we're able to give our tithes and not hold on to them, not cling to them, that helps us get that right heart attitude. If we deny ourselves in whatever way it is that we fast, Lord, whether it's actually physically not eating, whatever we're denying ourselves, and then we, by doing so, we just seek your presence. We say, the bridegroom isn't here, and I want to fast so that he is, so that it brings about the presence of the living God, that then I can communicate and pray to you. And Lord, I just give our hearts over to you and ask you to impress that upon us and help us to walk the way you want us to. So we just thank you for this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.